So we're in the Easter season, so I'll say a couple things about that in the liturgy and Easter, then I'll have a couple of points on the scriptures. As you heard before the gospel, we're singing Alleluia again. Remember during Lent, we didn't have Alleluia. We said something like glory to praise or praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we sing Alleluia. It's that song of the angels with the presence of God. We're wearing white. You know, white is the color of new life, of resurrection. And that's what we're celebrating in Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. That he was crucified, he died, was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And so the new light, the new life is symbolized by the white garment. And this season of Easter lasts 7 weeks. So for 7 whole weeks, we get to celebrate and remember and rejoice about the great gift that God has given us, this new life in Christ, that things are no longer the same, that they were one way, but now because of what Jesus did on the cross and in the empty tomb, there's a new way, and we are invited to share in that new way. Also, you'll see in the sanctuary the Paschal candle, the Easter candle is here. Normally, it lives in our chapel over there where we do baptisms, but during Easter season, the church asks for it to be in the sanctuary, close to the altar or close to the ambo, to remind us, because the candle is a symbol of Jesus. So when we see this candle, we should be thinking about Jesus, right? Jesus says that he's the light of the world. And so the candle here is burning, showing us the light. But how does the candle give light? By burning itself. And so the candle becomes less and less so that it can continue to give off light. This is what Jesus did on the cross, right? He gave of himself. He died to himself. We can say this candle is going to die to itself as it gets smaller and smaller. The same thing happens with our candles on the altar. They get smaller and smaller as they're burnt because it's a sign of what we're supposed to do, that we hear the call to die to ourselves, to give of ourselves. The candle helps us to have a visual image of what that looks like, that we give of ourselves so that other people can have light, other people can have love, other people can have life. And so we see there's a little bit different things now because we're in the Easter season. And so things are different. And so we can hear the scriptures today with that understanding that God is real and that he was risen. He raised from the dead, that he's alive in heaven. And that in the church we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and through the sacraments we can touch him, that we can have a relationship with him. The same way that the people in the church did when Jesus was alive, we can have that same relationship with him. And so Easter is that time that we celebrate, we rejoice in this new life. And so what was the responsorial psalm that we had? Do you remember what we said? One thing I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord. So if you were asked, what's the most important thing in your life? What's the one thing that you want more than anything else? Would you say to be in heaven with Jesus forever? Because that's what we all said together during the responsorial psalm. And that's what the fruit, the effect of our life of being in a relationship with Jesus. That should be the fruit of our time spent at a Catholic school. Is that we understand how important it is to be close to Jesus and that there's nothing more important. And so no matter what else is going on in my life, the first thing I want, the main thing I want, is to be with Jesus in heaven. And so everything I do, everything I say, is going to be on that course, on that way, on that path, so that I can go to heaven. And so the way I treat my classmates, when I'm honest with my schoolwork, when I'm respectful to the teachers and to the priests, when I'm diligent, when I perform everything I'm supposed to do, I do it well. When I'm at home, I'm respectful to my parents and to my siblings. I do my chores, I clean my room. everything I do is a reflection that I want to go to heaven. That the one thing I want more than anything else is to be with Jesus. This is the prayer, the psalm that we all prayed together. At the end it said, "Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted. Be strong-hearted." So with courage, you know, sometimes it takes courage to do the right thing. When all of our friends are cheating on tests and using AI to write papers, I'm going to do the right thing. When all our friends are being bullies to one particular person, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to have courage to stand and not be influenced by the people around me doing bad things. Because that's what was happening in the first reading, in the early church. Something else that's different about the Easter season is that the first reading doesn't come from the Old Testament. It comes from the Acts of the Apostles, which is the story of the early church. In the last few days, we've been hearing about how Peter and James and John and the other apostles kept getting in trouble because they were doing the right thing, that the religious leaders didn't like to hear about Jesus. But they continued to preach the name of Jesus, even though the people around them didn't want them to. They had courage to do the right thing. And so you can ask them to help you. Remember, we honor the saints so that what they did, we can imitate them. And so that maybe your family doesn't go to Mass on Sunday. Maybe you don't pray at home with your family. Maybe your friends laugh about Jesus and make it a joke. Do you have the courage to stand for Jesus even when the people around you are teasing you and making fun of you because you want to be holy, you want to be a saint, that you want to go to heaven and live with Jesus forever? Do you have the courage to do that? And so when we hear these readings and we hear the stories of the early people in the church, we want to imitate them. And then in the gospel, it's from John chapter 6. And it's John chapter 6 that really helps us to understand the Holy Eucharist. And so our second graders are getting so close. We're just a couple of weeks away. We have a retreat on Sunday. We're so close to receiving First Communion. And so in John chapter 6, Jesus is helping us to understand that the Eucharist really is his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity. But it started off with that story of the feeding of the 5,000. And they didn't have any food, just a few pieces of bread and a couple of pieces of fish. But Jesus was able to use just that little bit of food to feed over 5,000 people. And so what's the lesson that we can take from that? Sometimes we face big challenges. Sometimes there are things that require a lot out of us. And I think that I can't do it. It's too hard for me. I can't learn this new material. I can't speak that new language. I can't do what's being asked of me. Jesus shows us in the gospel today to just take what little bit you think you have, give it to him, and he will make it enough. You know, because oftentimes we don't have enough. Most of the times we don't. We need Jesus. We need Jesus for everything that we do. But we don't ever want to think that it's never worth it, that it's a waste, because I can't do something. Because with Jesus, I can do all things. And this is what we hear in the gospel today. And then at the very end, what happened? After they fed everybody, they went and collected the fragments. Everything that was left over, they saved. There's nothing wasted with Jesus. No matter what we do, no matter if we commit sin or when we commit sin, sometimes we can think badly about ourselves. We think that we could become a waste, that it's too late in my life. Jesus shows us in the gospel that nothing is wasted, that he collects everything, that he wants everything to be brought to him, so that he can use it for his good. And so even in the crumbs that were left over from the bread, Jesus wants that. And so speaking of that, I just want to point something about Holy Communion. Because that's what this is about. You'll notice after we finish distributing communion, the priests and the servers, we do what we call purifying the vessels to make sure that there are no fragments left over, so that everything is collected, so that nothing is wasted, because the smallest particle of the host, the smallest crumb, is God, is Jesus. And so that's why we take so much care to clean the vessels. But we also use those little plates, usually when we distribute communion. And on those plates, we clean those as well, because particles fall on that. And so my challenge to you is, if you choose to receive the Eucharist in your hand, which you have the right to do, you are responsible to make sure that there are no particles remaining in your hand. Because there are particles that fall onto that plate, so I know that particles are falling. So you have to be very careful on how you treat your hand, because God was just in your hand. And so we have to make sure we don't lose any of those particles. Just like he didn't want to lose any of the crumbs from the bread, we don't want to lose the same care and devotion we use to clean the vessels. We got to make sure that our hands are clean as well, because it's God. It's the God that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the God that is in heaven that loves you. It's the God that gave everything for you so that you can have life, that you can have light, that you can have love. It's the God that wants you to be with him in heaven forever. So we want to ask the saints to pray for us so that we can really desire to be in heaven, that we can always desire to do the right thing with courage, even when it's hard, to desire to have the one thing, the only thing I really want, is to be in heaven forever with Jesus. Let's pray for that grace today.